This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. Everything that we have been up to this morning from our new home away from home, the DHL Regional Innovation Centre. That includes catching up with DHL's global innovation boss, Matthias Huger, to talk about how innovation and technology can possibly save us from the supply chain crisis. Tom's also been making friends with a robotic dog. Is that the future of getting things safely from A to B? And speaking of getting from A to B, we've been speaking to the expansion boss at CAFU, the Bring the Petrol to You people, about where they're going next. All of that, plus Serena was here with your latest news headlines.
Morning, Serena.
Morning, guys.
Let's look at some of the top stories this morning that you're covering, and it is cruise season in Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai's cruise season has begun. The world's leading luxury liners all set to sail for Dubai once again. It was suspended, obviously, due to the pandemic. First to arrive, the luxury ship Mindshift 6. There was a grand welcome for 2,000 passengers.
All the names for a ship.
I knew you were going to make
a comment. It sounds like a sort of esports game or something, doesn't
it? You can't just keep quiet and just let me get through it, can you?
Sounds like something Keanu Reeves would star in, Mindshift 6.
Mindshift 6.
So, darling, do you fancy a trip on the Mindshift 6 this coming summer? Yeah, sounds delightful.
Why not? Any ship at this stage, anybody would be taking. So, grand welcome for 2,000 passengers. Dubai is expected to welcome as many as 126 ship calls and over 500,000 cruise visitors throughout the season. Now, the vessels will dock at the cruise terminals of Mina Rashid and at the recently launched Dubai Harbour. But as the UAE has been making strides in handling the COVID-19 pandemic, other nations may not have been able to bounce back so quickly. So just looking internationally, the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they've announced that they've extended the conditional sailing order for cruises to January 15th of next year. So it was originally set November 1st, but it's now been moved over concerns of the Delta variant.
Mein Schiff is German, and it means my ship.
There you go, Tom.
It's not an offshoot of Minecraft.
I was thinking the play on sort of gaming at seas, as it were.
You know. Our German host this morning, of course, would have been able to tell us that had we asked them. Serena Kelly, let's look at some of the other stories you're looking at this morning. And you've got the latest expo numbers. You mentioned them in the headlines there, but give us a bit more detail.
So nearly 1.5 million people have visited Expo 2020 Dubai in the first 24 days.
How many?
Nearly 1.5 million.
Right.
So that's first 24 days of Expo 2020 Dubai. The numbers have been strong because they've had a lot of activities on because of Space Week. Children have made up about one quarter of visitors. They've been attending a range of activities, including there's been a coaching program by the Rajasthan Royals. Mm. There's also been football sessions hosted by coaches from Man City as well. And of course, you had that recent long weekend. Apparently, they saw large crowds attending. You had that all-female Feridus Orchestra performance with Oscar-winning composer A.R. Rahman as well. But continuing to bring Expo 2020 Dubai to a global digital audience, the number of virtual visitors has risen to 10.8 million since October 1st.
Question for you.
Yes.
If Manchester City are doing some coaching sessions, can we bring out Manchester United, the team that me and your husband support, to get a few lessons?
I don't know. There might be a little bit of an issue there because Man City obviously teamed up as one of the ambassadors for Expo. So I don't know whether they'd really want, I mean, considering after the performance from the other night, I don't know whether they'd want Man United, to be honest.
They're past help. There's nothing they can do there.
Leave them alone, but still, yes.
Shares of Manchester United falling actually 1% overnight in New York yesterday following that 5-0 defeat to Liverpool. Now, we digress. Let's look internationally, Serena Kelly. COP26 is happening in a few days' time, isn't it? But it may not have a full house of attendees.
That's right. Did you know some countries have been forced to scale back their attendance? Why? Because of COVID-19 travel curbs and costs. So border closures, quarantine rules and high travel costs will see the small island states and poorer nations sending smaller delegations. And in some cases, leaders aren't even going to be able to attend. So it all kicks off Scotland Sunday, as you said, Richard. According to Fiji's ambassador to the United Nations, Only four leaders from the Pacific Island states are due to attend in person. Borders remain closed in many of the Pacific Islands because they're trying to keep their communities safe from COVID. Tonga still has a quarantine in place of up to 3 weeks. COP26, of course, is billed as the last best shot for the world to try to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
It's the old borders excuse again, though, isn't it, eh? You know, there's the Fiji delegation currently in the South Pacific, in Fiji, going, Glasgow, beginning of November, you're having a laugh. And yeah, I think we'll stay put, if that's all right. Can we join virtually?
But you know the idea, like when you're just so used to a season and enjoying like hot weather and stuff, you do actually welcome a bit of rain or a bit of cold or a bit of snow.
Yeah, this is Glasgow, though, yeah? I grew up, spent part of my life there. Yes.
But just keeping with the environment, I do have a question for you guys this morning. How full are the camera rolls on your phones? What do you tend to take a lot of photos and just keep them?
I get them developed every week.
No, I mean, as in, do you delete them? Do you keep them? Do you use a lot of space up on your phones?
They're in the cloud.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So mine were, and then Apple deleted them.
It's claimed our endless digital storage of data could be creating just as much global emissions as international air travel. The Institute of Engineering and Technology says pictures alone contribute to more than 355,000 tons of CO2 every year. So deleting any excess or unwanted photos will apparently help to reduce the amount of energy needed to power servers used to store data.
So I should be grateful to Apple for deleting 7 years of my life.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Without a trace. Doing my bit for the planet.
You are doing your bit for the planet, Richard.
Your kids didn't want their baby photos anyway.
Nah, overrated.
Just embarrass them at their 21sts.
Serena Kelly, thank you very much indeed.
More details on the Air and New Centre app.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We are speaking now to Cafu, the Bring the Petrol to You people. They've just expanded the services that they are offering in Abu Dhabi, and we're going to find out now what it means for the bottom line. Speaking to Ala Al-Huni, who is the Head of Partnerships and Expansion at Cafu. Ala, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us. I'm long-time listener and a very big fan, as is everybody in Cafu. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, we will take that. Ala, tell me what you're doing in the capital that you weren't doing earlier.
So, to be honest, we're very excited about our growth into Abu Dhabi. We initially started August last year with providing our Super Shine service in Abu Dhabi. It's had incredible traction there. We've grown by over close to about 120% in less than a year. And now we have launched our on-demand battery change, our on-demand tire change, and are looking by December to offer an on-demand minor service. Each and every single service is similar to the rest of Cafu services, where we come to you and that service gets provided on the spot where you are located without us removing your vehicle or and hopefully removing any stress or any hassle from our customer's perspective.
What percentage of your business do these non-petrol services make up across the UAE?
I think this is an excellent question. Our core service offering, obviously, is petrol, and that's what we led with. These services are very brand new services. They've been growing significantly, and slowly they're becoming more significant and a larger portion of our offering. I would say currently they might represent just under 20%.
Because the question we always have about Cafu is this is a very regulated market. You are controlled in terms of how much you can charge for petrol, for fuel. Does that mean that the opportunity to make more profit, to have more of a margin, is on these other services for you?
Excellent question. Again, on the petrol side, there is profits to be made. It's similar to the way the gas stations operate. So, and there, it's a volume game. So the larger we become, the more clients that we have, the more profitable that becomes. The rest of the services is a very similar approach. The key thing for Cafu is we want to be extremely convenient, have it brought at your home at no additional cost to our users. And we follow a very, very similar strategy for all our products and services, and believe that we are able to do so by leveraging technology and try to grow the business and leverage volume more than anything else.
But what kind of margin, very quickly, is there for you on the fuel?
The same as any other gas station would make. And this, of course, is continuously fluctuating. As prices of fuel change, so do the margins. And the larger we become, the larger margins we would see.
But at the moment, with fuel prices rising around the world, what percentage would you put on that right now?
I wouldn't be able to answer because this is continuously changing. As you are well aware, prices of fuel, even in the UAE, have changed recently, and it changes continuously. Our operating expenses also are directly linked with the volume of business that we have. And this is also continuously changing. We have been seeing tremendous growth and do not stop increasing our volume month on month, year on year.
Is CAFE profitable at the moment?
That's an excellent question. And the reality is, on a service level perspective, absolutely. But what we do is we are investing heavily on growing the offerings that we have. So we invest in R&D, we invest in technology, we invest on creating new products and services. And on that end, obviously, we're taking a lot of investment going into developing these new solutions and expanding into new markets, as you are well aware.
But you are then annually making a profit. Is that what you're saying? You're just reinvesting it?
I guess that's the best way to put it. On a service line basis, each and every single one of our products and services do see positive margins. And at that level, we are. But as a company, our decision is to grow and to keep on innovating towards our customers. So we are investing heavily into developing new products, new solutions into the market.
What has COVID actually meant for the demand for your services? If we've had less people commuting over the last year, year and a half, then presumably we've needed less petrol, but also less maintenance for our cars.
Excellent question, once again. And I think that one of the things that CAFU did, and our CEO and founder Rashid was very quick about, was trying to identify the opportunity, not just the impact of COVID for CAFU. So we didn't just take a reactive approach, we took a very proactive approach to COVID. On one end, you're absolutely right. I think that from a B2C perspective, people were not moving around as much. But from a B2B perspective, there are still a lot of businesses that used a lot of mobility. The second thing that we did is we did take an approach where we removed, just on the onset of COVID, any delivery fees, and that has increased the client base that we have and the volume of leaders that we do deliver. And the final element, I think more people are accustomed to on-demand services due to COVID. We are a completely contactless solution, and a lot of people adopted us during this period because they wanted to be a little bit more careful and avoid contact as much as possible. So net-net, it had a positive impact on CAFU. We have seen growth month on month, every single month throughout the entire COVID period.
Ala Alhuni is the head of partnerships and expansion at CAFU, speaking to us this morning as they introduce more services into Abu Dhabi, and we use it as an excuse to dig into CAFU's business model.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast.
First rule of broadcast, Tom Urquhart, never work with children or animals, and you are going to break that right now. What are you doing?
Indeed, yeah, but we can break it because it's an animal with a little bit of a difference. It's an animal the term walkies that has been around for dog's years, basically, has just got innovated, and where better to do it than DHL's Innovation Centre here in the heart of Dubai, because in front of us, as you can see, is the beautiful Spot the Robotic Dog. Now, what does Spot the Robotic Dog? There's only one person that can tell us a bit more about it. It is the Senior Innovation Engagement Manager for DHL, Megan Wolski. Megan, who's flown in from Chicago to be part of this. Welcome. Thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Dubai is amazing. Being a part of this brand new innovation center is amazing, so I'm very happy to be here.
I mean, before we move on to the animals in our midst, not so much the elephant in the room, but the robotic dog in the room, let's talk about the center itself, if you like, because in terms of what DHL is trying to achieve, not just here in Dubai, not just here in the region, but worldwide, is this sort of in keeping with?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the kind of tenets or things we focus on at globally in our innovation centers is being close to our customers, bringing innovation to our customers where they live, where they operate. And so getting here into the Middle East and Africa is absolutely that. And we'll find out more about how this is actually going to move around the region. And so we are really, truly getting close to our customers and where they do business.
Now, we've actually been blown away by just the creativity and the buzz, the optimism here since we've been broadcasting throughout. And this, I suppose, is an example of that. Often,
absolutely,
when you're working with animals, well, anything is, there's the unpredictability, but this is a little bit more.
Yes.
So we've got Spot the robotic dog. Talk to us about Spot.
Simply on the outside, Spot is what you said, a robotic dog. It is controlled with a gaming type controller, so something you would have maybe similar at home playing video games. But underneath all of this is decades and decades of research by some of the brightest minds in the world. And what this has culminated into is extremely powerful artificial intelligence, as well as highly developed sensors all around it, giving Spot the ability to move like a human. So that agility and mobility that you typically wouldn't see in a robot, we can see in Spot.
He's very obedient, that's for
sure. He is.
Give us an indication. He obviously does sit very well, sit and lie very well at the moment. But give us an indication of the capabilities of Spot. What does he do?
Absolutely. So multiple industries and sectors are using Spot essentially wherever we don't want to put humans because of harsh environments or possibly dangerous situations. So we're looking at manufacturing surveys or inspections, and so we're using heavy machinery. Even healthcare is using it for triaging patients. But where we see,
Sorry, Spot.
He likes that.
Oh, he likes that. Yeah. Okay, so all right, Spot. Oh, you do like that, don't you? Oh, good boy. You good boy, you.
What we're seeing using it at DHL is thinking about one of our largest business units here is DHL Global Forwarding. And within there, we have a division called Industrial Projects, and we're moving ultra large, ultra heavy cargo that typically humans are outside in the heat, harsh conditions, measuring tapes, clipboards. We can actually send Spot in there to do the dimensioning with his sensors and attachments like you see here. This is a very extremely high definition camera.
Yeah.
He can take all these measurements, bring them back to humans, and then we can do all of the work we need to move our customer's product without ever putting anybody in danger or in, again, harsh environments.
So there's a huge amount of potential, as you mentioned there, all of that combined technology coming into Spot. And I suppose, therefore, the potential moving forward is that this could be, or this technology could be used in all corners of the globe for DHL.
Absolutely. Thinking about Africa, for example, there is so much infrastructure being updated. This would be a great use case to bring there. Here in Dubai, I've only been here for 2 weeks, but there is a ton of construction. And I think this would also be a really great use case, surveying the construction sites, helping determine what they need to order, what they need to bring on site. Again, the sensor technologies, the cameras, that can do pretty much anything a human can do with great accuracy.
Now, I like big dogs, and Spot, you're a big dog, which is good to see. Good, look at you, eh? It's like the old tickly behind the ears, isn't it? You know, it's exactly the same. But in terms of scale, I mean, again, could you make a more of a handbag dog, Spot?
I definitely cannot. Boston Dynamics, I believe this is the only size they have.
Yeah.
This has just kind of hit the commercial market, if you will. For a long time, this was kind of not something you could buy off the shelf.
Yeah, of course.
So as this has developed and it becomes more of a product, I think we may see different sizes, but right now this is all they have.
Megan, I would love to see what Spot can do. Oh, Spot could do a lot, obviously. But in terms of agility and things like that, can you give us an idea, an example?
For sure. So one of the things, if you think about what we're doing on a daily basis as humans, we're moving on uneven terrain, walking up and down stairs, and Spot can do the exact same thing. So we actually have stairs here.
We do indeed,
And so I'm going to have Spot walk up the stairs, and you can see him in action.
It's walkies, Spot. Here we go. Oh, my God. He's going with us. Okay, Spot, when you're ready, stairs, walkies. Okay, he's off.
He's going.
Oh, and he's just using his sensors there.
And so he does obstacle avoidance. So if he sees something, he will walk around it.
That
he will
amazing,
not run into
isn't it.
It. Here we go.
And it's the speed. Look at that. You go, Spot.
He's a crowd pleaser for sure.
Spot the dog is a crowd. Look at that. But it's the speed that gets me as well, because quite often when you see these robotics, quite slow and quite cumbersome. Not so Spot, who's up there, is actually making himself a coffee as we speak as well. He can do everything. But that speed is really is quite significant.
Yes, he moves about 1.6 kilometers per second, so he can move pretty fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is obviously a part and parcel of DHL's Innovation Centre. People can come down. Richard Dean is a dog owner and dog lover over there.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How much is that doggy in the window?
He's not cheap, but he does a lot. It's $75,000 for the base model.
And one's assuming you don't have to buy food or anything like that.
No, that's a great thing. You don't. And you don't have to take him outside either. So
he can walk himself.
Yes. Yeah, just open the door and he goes.
Listen, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for being with us. That's just one of a number of innovations that I'm sure people can see down here at the Innovation Center.
Absolutely. We have exoskeletons. We have virtual reality, augmented reality. Pretty much anything great technology-wise happening in logistics, we have here.
Really appreciate your time, Megan. Thank you
so
much
indeed.
Thanks for being here in Dubai as well. Enjoy the rest of your stay. Thanks for inviting us down to the Innovation Centre. So that was Spot, the robotic dog who's gone for his walkies. Rich, as we heard, exoskeletons coming out of the closet a little later on in the week as well. Can't wait for that one.
Well, Serena Kelly will like that because she's a big Halloween fan, isn't she? She'll probably be wearing one on Saturday night as she does her trick-or-treating rounds. First on the Business Breakfast, Tom Urquhart interviewing Spot the dog.
This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Our new studio home away from home, the global supply chain crisis has propelled us for the rest of this week into DHL's new innovation centre down here in Dubai South. So new, in fact, that it hasn't even opened its doors yet. We're very pleased to be joined all the way from Cologne by Matthias Hütke, who is the Senior Vice President and the Global Head of Innovation for DHL. Matthias, it's lovely to see you. Thank you for joining us. And you couldn't have picked a more opportune time to launch this facility. Small little challenge for you to solve there.
That's correct. I mean, we are in a situation where I think what we call the era of logistics, because we believe has never been more important. I mean, also probably accelerated by the COVID crisis and everything else. But we do see a significant increase in demand driven by e-commerce and other factors, but also a shortage of supply in the technology sector, but also a shortage of skilled labor. So it's a really interesting situation for us to solve.
So how is the global crisis with supply chains affecting your clients? What are they telling you they're facing?
I mean, there are a few factors. One is really it's a significant increase in volumes, and it's also more consumer driven. So we talk about a consumer driven supply chain because customers are really much closer to logistics because of the e-commerce experience. On the other side, I think because of the crisis and some of the shifts in the supply chains, visibility becomes even more important for every customer. So they all want to really understand where the goods are at any given time. And also, I think you talked about it throughout the week, is we do see a shortage of skilled laborers like drivers, warehouse workers, and others.
So let's talk about what you've built here and how it can help solve and prevent crises like this. Where we're sitting, the Innovation Center, what's it been created to do?
So I think, first maybe let's start, so what are we trying to achieve? I think for me, innovation is one of the key factors to really face this crisis. So it's an opportunity for us, but we have to size it. And that's why those centers for us is what we call our nucleus for customer-centric innovation. So we really want to bring the demands of our customers together with experts from operations and partners from the ecosystem in the whole Middle East and Africa region to really find new solutions and to the problems we just discussed.
What kind of solutions could we be talking? We've already met Spot the robot dog.
I mean, automation is one. I mean, if you look at some of the volume increases in like warehouse operations, there are a lot of activities and tasks that are repetitive and that could be probably done by robots and being automated. So really looking into how can we automate some of those activities, but in a way that we have a collaborative setup between humans and robots. Visibility is another one. So if you think about all the topics of, we talked about sensors in Spot, but also we put a lot of sensors now in shipments and in the logistics supply chain overall to make sure we really understand where everything is at any given time.
Will the current crisis in supply chain that we're facing at the moment fundamentally change the way things get from A to B? Are we having to have a rethink?
To some extent, I think one thing is more like we need to optimize what we have. So we have certain resources, and I think by applying more modern data analytics, IoT automation, I think we can improve and make it more efficient and effective. But it will also change some of it, because the way, like, if you look at some of the transport, the means how we transport, right? So we do like trucks, typically we need, if you have five trucks, you need five drivers. What we're now testing is platooning. That means only the first truck has a driver and all the four others follow the first truck without a driver. So that helps you to really be much more efficient with the assets you have.
Will we see a shift away from the just-in-time supply chains, the very lean warehousing and storage that a lot of companies have been running?
I think it's too early to tell. Right now we do see that customers appreciate more resilience, so that we have more like buffer stocks and safety stocks. We also tend to get closer to demand, so that we really do the fulfillment more in the country of consumption, not necessarily in the country of manufacturing. So there's a shift of like stocks in the supply chain, but it's all about also being smarter about it and have more visibility, because if I know where my goods are and where the demand is, and I apply more modern analytics techniques, I can predict where do I need certain goods at what time.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We are down here at DHL's brand spanking new, the doors aren't even open yet, Innovation Center here in Dubai South. And we'll be Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday finding out what needs to happen to solve the supply crunch that is affecting the world so much right now, and to learn about the future of logistics as well. Matthias Hiertke, Senior Vice President and Global Head of Innovation for DHL. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.